We were doing everything ourselves too. So we were managing the website. We were managing customer service. We were packing out the orders ourselves.
We were going to T-shirt Mart. Didn't work there, but would get on the pressing and be like, this guy, Jim, that we somehow made friends with, who's the manager. We were like, Jim, I need to use the machine right now. And we were pressing these things in between like lunch breaks, getting them back over, shipping them out.
And if they couldn't do it in time, we would go to the T-shirt shop and just be like, Jim, can we please get on the machines? And we'd be pressing them ourselves.
Yeah. And then COVID hit and it was like, we never stopped working.
I'm Tom Ward, and over the last couple years, I've had the chance to sit down with some of the biggest celebrities and influencers in the world. What I've always found most fascinating is the stories of the businesses that they've built behind the scenes. On this show, you'll get an inside look of what it takes to build a successful business from some of the biggest celebrities, business people, and up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the world. This is The Tom Ward Show. Hey guys, welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the biggest entrepreneurs in the world. Make sure you subscribe and turn on notifications. We do new interviews every Tuesday at 10 a.m. And today, welcome at your house here. I'm sitting here with Tori Robinson and Leo O'Malley, founders of Boys Lie, which is a funny name. And I want to tell you that all boys don't lie. You know, I'm a decent one. There's some decent ones out there. But I wanted to find out how you guys connected, because you're both from, I read the story, you're both from kind of the main line, if you're not from the Philly area, that's outside of Philly, a suburb, and you grew up close to each other, you went to different schools, hung out with different people, but now all of a sudden you're business partners and really good friends. So how did you reconnect?
Yeah, well, yes, we grew up literally right down the street from each other in Wayne, Pennsylvania. I could probably walk to her house if I wanted to. And we hung out within the same crowds in high school, but we were never like best friends. In college, her boyfriend at the time was best friends with my boyfriend.
And so they went to the same school.
The same school.
I did. So Leah.
Did they grow up in the same town?
Yeah.
So Leah would go out and visit and we would hang out, and essentially we became best friends and dumped them.
Yeah. So we just continued our friendship. I remember she invited me over. I think it was for my 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And she had champagne and we like celebrated. And then that whole summer, we spent the entire summer together.
It was a great summer.
And we just like became best friends. And
were you back east or were you here in LA at the time?
Back east.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then after college, she was at Yelp and I was moving out to San Diego and I was working for a private label manufacturer. And I went to New York and it was St. Patrick's Day, I think.
Yeah.
And we were wasted, like out of our mind. And we're in a fire station and we keep screaming, boys lie, boys lie, boys lie. And it was kind of always something that when we were going through breakups, whether that be friends, boyfriends, best friends, bosses, anything like that, we would always exchange those words. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like an inside joke, but to build each other up. So boys lie essentially doesn't actually mean boys lie. It really
like
means
boys.
Like taking that energy and like that healing process and putting it towards something else.
Something positive.
Yeah.
It was empowering for us to say it.
And
we'd
it almost
say it like going out at night.
Yeah, it became like our mantra.
It was our mantra.
So we get drunk, we're in this fire station in New York, and essentially we're screaming this and we're like, why don't we do something with this? Why don't we?
Because like, everyone would say this name is so catchy. We love this, like just this phrase, boys lie.
So I was kind of looking at some sayings you had, like you were saying, boys lie, revenge body, you know, which I thought was funny. You had all these kind of mantras, but the one I like most was, and that's why I took out my notes. I never look at these, but boys follow what they see, girls follow what they hear, and that's why girls wear makeup and boys lie.
Mm-hmm. So we initially,
how did that come? I mean, that's a dope statement.
So we initially started as a makeup brand and we failed miserably.
Okay.
Like, it was actually one of the best learning lessons we both could have had, because in school, it's like you get by school, you can get good grades, but nobody really teaches you how to lose. Like nobody teaches you how to fail at all.
Or what to do after you fail.
Yeah.
So essentially we thought that line was very catchy. I forget where we had heard it from, but we were like, let's pick this up and use this.
Yeah.
And it kind of
let's,
just became a thing
market.
That we were like, f*** it, let's put it in our bio. This works.
Yeah.
And so while the makeup didn't stick, the phrase kind of just did, and it still works today.
And your family has background in the cosmetics industry, right?
Yeah.
Your dad is in the cosmetic manufacturing?
Correct. So when I went to move out to San Diego, essentially, I was helping the family business, learning about the ins and outs of producing cosmetics. And that's why we started in makeup, because I was like, oh, since
Makes
I'm
sense.
Learning this,
yeah.
let's start Boys Lie in makeup. But the thing is with cosmetics, if she's wearing pink lipstick, I don't really need to ask her what brand she's wearing. I can just go to CVS and buy pink lipstick. So we were like, let's have two merch pieces, like these hoodies that I just randomly designed. And Delilah Bell and Ming Lee Simmons reached out to us and they were like, we want these, we need these. So we were 2 months from shutting out like our entire store. We were like, we can't.
Oh, you had a physical store?
No, like online.
Shutting down business.
Just, oh, online. Yeah.
Just
gotcha.
We were like, we're failing. We're not doing anything. We're not being like, we're not making this work. So they reach out. We're like sending out all these gifts essentially, or seating, just of what was left of our inventory. Mm-hmm. And I wake up one morning and I'm looking at like Gigi Hadid updates because I'm a huge Gigi fan. And she's full like head to toe in what? Our outfit, walks out in New York. It's right when she broke up with Tyler Cameron. Mm-hmm. And the entire thing just went viral. And it was like, this is pre-COVID also.
Wow.
So we were like, oh my God, freaking out. All of a sudden like our sales pick up. Lee and I are working two jobs between doing sales for the private label manufacturer and doing
Boys Lie. And pack, we are doing everything ourselves too. So we were managing the website. We were managing customer service. We were packing out the orders ourselves.
We were going to T-shirt Mart. Didn't work there, but would get on the
pressing.
Press and be like, this guy Jim that we somehow made friends with, who's the manager. We were like, Jim, I need to use the machine right now. And we were pressing these things in between like lunch breaks, getting them back over, shipping them out.
And if they couldn't do it in time, we would go to the T-shirt shop and just be like, Jim, can we please get on the machines? And we would be pressing them ourselves.
Yeah, and then COVID hit, and it was like we never stopped working.
Well, before you fail, right, in the beginning of the business, did you have like a formal business plan, or did you kind of go, let's do makeup because I know makeup? Did your dad help you kind of set up the business and say, these are some things to look for, this is how you should structure it?
No.
And how did you get funding? Like, what did you start with?
We borrowed like 250K that we kind of used over time, but we blew it really quickly.
Yeah.
And basically, in the initial process of the business plan, it was really hard. Like I came from ASU, mm-hmm. like as a student. I was supposed to be a business major. I switched to creative writing because school got in the way of college.
ASU's a fun school.
It is.
I lived in Scottsdale.
Yeah, so. Harvard of the West. Yeah. Great time. So I have this amazing time, and essentially then I'm supposed to be writing out this business plan when I've been reading poetry for 4 years of school.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck. But I had a really good mentor at the time. Her name was Carol Neary. And she had started this private label manufacturer that we purchased, and she was still running it. So she was able to help me navigate this business plan essentially. And then from there, we kind of just came up with different ideas and concepts of how to grow.
Yeah, but I remember it was difficult in the beginning too, because I was still in New York working at Yelp, and I was a sales rep there selling ads. And so it took a while for me to actually get out here. It took like maybe 4 or 5 months because I had to
quit and then
pack up and come out here. So we were kind of just like, I was really thrown into it with her. And it was a huge learning experience for me too, because I had never worked in the cosmetic industry and I had no background in that. I'm a communications major. I went to Boulder. So it was like, we learned so much in the first year. And also taught each other a lot along the way, but it was not easy at all. It was really hard.
In picking out even the components for the cosmetic line, she was still at Yelp again, and we went to Hong Kong, we went to Cosmoprof.
Oh, wow.
We land in Hong Kong, and unfortunately, my grandma passed away. Oh. And I was like bedridden because my grandma and I were super, super close. And at that time, I'm like, Leah, I might have to go home. These are all the things that you need to start asking.
So I'm like sitting in bed with her and I'm like, give me every single, I'm like writing notes like I'm in
school. This is the size of the boat. This is the size of what you need to fill. Like this is,
I'm like, okay, I'm so nervous, but I'm ready. I'll stay here in Hong Kong for the next week by myself and I'll do it. But she ended up.
Because she's got the makeup expertise. Like she grew up in that business, so she knows this.
She's still teaching me like, okay, you need to ask this. This is what we're looking for. This is the size. This is the barrel size of the lipstick that we're looking for. And I'm learning all of this.
All this stuff.
As she's going through a horrible time. And it was really difficult.
I think the key to even us succeeding in clothing is having that manufacturing background and knowing how something's made, because it really makes you think down to the single-handed like screw of what it is, like how do I make this piece? I think that's been a huge part of our success too, is having that mindset.
How did you pick manufacturers in the beginning? Did you make some mistakes along the way? Like,
we definitely
were you
made
good
mistakes.
At it?
But we had a good group of friends who recommended us to a manufacturer out here in Compton, and we made close friends with them, and they produce for huge companies like Costco, Walmart,
oh, wow.
like gigantic. So for them to produce like 100 units was a really big favor. And then we just grew the account, yeah. and they grew with us.
And you started 100 units. That's what you started with.
Yeah, essentially, we went in there and we're like, we were talking to the guy, and I don't know if I'll say his name, but he's great. We still work with him today, and we're like, we are just starting. We are super small. This is the amount of units that we need to make. I really hope that you trust and believe in us because we will grow. We know we will grow.
And we're like, we'll be here every day.
We'll be
here
every day.
So we are also commuting from San Diego to Compton like every day.
But he believed in us and he believed in the brand. And he kind of did us a favor by doing these really small quantities of units and still giving us a good price. And so we're really thankful to him. And
yeah.
So you start with 250. You blow a bunch of it on this makeup thing, right? How much are you left with, and does panic set in? Right? Because you sound optimistic now because obviously the brand did well and you're successful now.
I think we're always going to be panicking just because our experience of trusting the wrong people in LA, like when we were like, oh, we have a marketing budget, we have all these things, everyone in LA just saw dollar signs like, oh, we can spend their money, oh, we can do this.
100%.
And we got really taken advantage of. And in that, it was kind of like, we blew the budget, we were under panic and pressure because the money that we borrowed had been spent, and we were like, where do we go from here? We don't even know what to do. Is she gonna go back to Yelp? Am I gonna still be a salesperson?
Are we gonna be out of jobs?
We had really no idea, and we kind of, in that 2 month period, at one point, there was just so much pressure that we kind of surrendered to it all, and we're like, you know what, we've put our all in this, fuck it if it works. If it doesn't,
like, we started laughing when things started going wrong, so we're like, whatever, like,
what else
what
can
we
happen?
Do screw this. But we were also in a really interesting situation because that whole year of the makeup failing, I think it was in October or November, is when the clothing started to blow up. So we are towards the end of the year, we started making a lot of money, so I think people started believing in us a little bit more that we could grow. But it happened towards the end of the year, so that first year was pretty shitty for us,
and
it continued to take off.
It was hard. I think people don't realize either that when you start a business, nobody's going to be on your cheerleading team. Like, even your friends who say, oh yeah, I'll support the business, like, no, they won't. And I think that that's something to be said too, by just because your friends don't believe in you, even sometimes family members, it doesn't mean you can't succeed. Like, the world is of abundance. If you get 100 people in a room, right, and you're speaking and they're paying attention to what you're doing, that's amazing.
100%.
100 followers is still a lot of people.
You don't need millions of followers. I say this all the time.
No.
You need a small but dedicated group.
Exactly.
And the people that are passionate about you and will consume all your content, buy whatever you're selling, who really believe in
you. And I think a lot of people, too, who get suckered into influencer collaborations, you can have 15 million followers, but it doesn't mean you have buying power.
Nope.
So that's another thing too.
We say you're an influencer, but what are you really influencing?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day.
Do you have an engaged community is what it's all about. We talked about Emma Chamberlain before.
Right.
Yeah.
She's the perfect influencer, right? Because she has the following.
Her return is insane.
And they're passionate.
Yeah.
And if you have 15,000 followers and your engagement rate is extremely high and you know that they're going to have a huge return on investment for your business, I'd rather pick that influencer to give a gift to in hopes that she would wear it compared to someone who has a million followers and no one gives a about what they're doing.
Yep.
I mean, I think the best thing that we did too in the initial process of this is we picked out all these memes that we absolutely loved, and we were like, why don't we just start using this and creating a mood board? And you know, it's just a Boys Lie account with memes. People love that. And that's kind of what really...
Yeah, that's, I think,
really?
The really interesting part. So when we were makeup and we hadn't launched yet, our Instagram solely was a mood board, like she said, like memes about heartbreak and things.
If you want to take the time to scroll all the way down, you'll see the mood board. And
so
it's
we built this following of girls and guys who were just following because they liked what we were posting and it was relatable. So we started building this organic following that we knew would also resonate with our brand DNA and who we were really trying to target as our consumer base. Mm-hmm. So organically we kind of built that without really knowing what we were doing. When we had the business plan, we didn't have a marketing idea of this is how exactly we want the Instagram to look like. We kind of just fell into it. And
I think the same way about networking, actually. I went to ASU, so I was lucky enough where I could go to LA, I could go to Vegas. So in my freshman year of college, I was like, let's go to Coachella. And I met all these great people. But in that process of meeting those people, my mindset wasn't like, I'm networking right now. These are great people.
I'm gonna
use them
just
for my business
fun.
One day.
Yeah.
I'm just having a great time with them. And we built such strong relationships that I was lucky enough that when we did want to do more clothing aspects, people are like, yeah, we'll wear it, whatever, we'll post.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Like,
it wasn't planned out. It wasn't a marketing plan.
I think people think you have to have a business plan and you have to have networking and you have to have all these things, but that's not true. Like, honestly, the best thing you can do for yourself is just to be likable and to be kind. And it's so hard sometimes for people to just do that.
100%.
I think the nights, I think when we also first moved out here, we used to go out a lot more because we'd be like, you know, if there's going to be these people there, like, we really need to. Then we started thinking in the networking mindset. So, like, we need to network. But then when you're sometimes, at least for me, when I'm in that mindset of, like, this is business only and I don't feel like I'm truly being myself, I feel more closed off. And I think that when you're going out with an intention to just
have fun,
you will build those organic relationships regardless if you're just being yourself. But you still have to always have that business mentality, but you can't
you have to have the mindset too of like being like, is this going to ruin my reputation? While you're out with them,
be careful what events you go through.
Like, I couldn't in no ways have a political career by any chance right now, but I mean, with the with the relationships I built from school, I can definitely say at least like we still use those relationships today.
Yeah. When you become comfortable, you become also more comfortable to talk about the business aspect of what you're really trying to talk about with that person without being too like.
And eventually, honestly, you get so sick of talking about it. Like, there are moments too where we'll be at birthday parties for friends or we'll be at family functions together and they'll be like, so how's Boys Lie? Blah, blah, blah. Like, all these things about Boys Lie. And I'm like, I pitch all the time. I do this every day. I cannot take this anymore. And it's also like, this is somebody's birthday.
Yeah,
like,
let's it's not
celebrate.
About me.
Yeah, let's celebrate them and what
sometimes
they're doing.
I feel bad, even and when I go home with my family. And
like, do you take the attention right out of the room?
I don't want to, but I feel like I'm there and my aunts and uncles are asking like, how's Boys Lie? And asking all these questions. I always like want to be like, Kara, so she's doing this right now. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want this to solely be about.
You don't want to overshadow. Other people are doing interesting
sometimes
things.
Sometimes it gets
I'm
awkward
sure.
with family.
And it's hard because we already eat, sleep, and like breathe. I mean, obviously, even this house, it's literally like eat, sleep, wake up, Boys Lie, Boys Lie, Boys Lie, Boys Lie. So when you do get that break or that mental pause, you're like, wow, this is actually really relieving that I can have a moment with my friends, with my family, that it's not really about this. And it's so weird because 4 years ago, I mean, we're so grateful in the position that we're in, but 4 years ago, I'd be like, no, Boys Lie this, Boys Lie this. Boys
That's
lie
a waste
this.
Of time.
Yeah.
Right. How do you, I mean, what do you do now? Because I think you're at the stage where you're realizing, actually, that stuff's important. It's not a waste of time. Connecting, decompressing and stuff. Like, you were telling me your schedule, you know, before this and how you're waking up in the middle of the night and thinking, you know, Boys Lie. But how do you unplug? And you're world social too. Like, you got to be on Instagram. You got to be doing all these things. Are you good at it, or is that
hard? I think you find your own balance within what you're doing, and that takes practice. And I'm still practicing. So there are days, especially where, again, I wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning, and I'll be like, I need to get on my computer. Oh my God, I need to do this, this, and this. And then there are moments too where I'm like, I was on the airplane.
And we were talking about this the other day.
I opened up my email and I was gone for a week. And in between, I answered like the emails that I could, but I had 450 emails. And I opened up my email and I was like, you know what? Just not right now. And I like immediately, I'm like, I'm going to put on a movie and just, you know, try and decompress for a second. But I mean, you watch reality TV.
That's what I do kind of. I would know it's you got to do things or listening to a podcast where you listen to other people dish the shit or give each other. Because it kind of takes you out of the consistent thinking about the brand. I mean, I took PTO with my family. I went to Maine in July and I actually didn't work the whole time. And that was the first time I did not sit at my laptop or check. And I had anxiety in the beginning, just thinking about like all the things I need to do and like what I'm missing out on. But towards the end, I'm like, I really did need that. And I needed to just disconnect and unplug. But then it's hard because
the worst
still
is when you
it.
Go on vacation. Also, I went on vacation last January for like a week and a half with my family. And by the end of the vacation, I was like, I want to work. I need to work. I'm like starting to get the twitch again. Like,
my email must be checked.
Yeah. I think it just depends, like, on what, I don't know, what range that you're in your own emotions. But I will say, we both started doing Hot 8 or Hot Yoga, and it's kind of like Hot Yoga with cardio.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. But something I do like is that it puts your body under pressure, and you have to learn how to breathe through that. And I think for me, starting off your day that way, where you have some sort of relief, has been essential to even me coming in here and having a positive attitude and are like continuing to succeed.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, I mean,
think working out's really important.
I wake up grumpy. 100%. So doing yoga in the morning really just helps me because...
Yeah, and I'm not even saying, like, you have to work out every day. You have to diet. You have to do all these things because, honestly, like, I don't eat that great.
Yeah.
But it is something that just gives you, like, a physical release, not just the mental one.
Talk about how involved in the business you're in because... Kind of just looking at your Instagram and stuff like that and looking at it, it looks like, hey, perfect life, successful brand, Forbes 30 under 30. Yeah. Like, they're probably on cruise control by now. But you were telling me before this what you spent your days doing and kind of what you're doing in the middle of the night. Talk about, like, how involved you are, and you're not checked out. You're not just...
No, I think in the beginning we were able to be this digitally native, so, like, having this such strong, and we still do, intimate relationship with our... like audience in general, like it would be Lee and I DMing back and forth, like in the Boys Light Instagram and reaching out to all these people. And I think now it's kind of like,
Now we're lucky enough to have a team of people, but at the same time,
our attention has to go to different areas of the business at
every single moment of the day. But it's also, you know, in the beginning when we were doing every single thing ourselves, we learned so much. And so now we always say we would never have somebody do something that we've never done.
I hear that all the time from people I interview.
Right.
I hear that all over and over.
Because how can you understand where they're coming from if they're struggling if you've never actually done it yourself?
Yeah.
And so even learning little things like that or doing data entry, that's kind of just you're sitting there like a robot entering in all these part numbers or entering in all these sales orders. It really does make you understand that it's not easy. And
everything is connected. And even though, again, we are the faces of the brand, it's so hard to kind of balance between that and the back end of things.
Yeah.
And
the non-sexy part of the job.
Exactly. And
the data
the whole,
entry.
But every
the
day non-sexy.
Yeah,
the
non-sexy part of the job is the most important part.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have...
Posting on Instagram is fun.
No,
getting a bunch of likes and
right.
people love you. That's fun.
Yeah, but it's also... After you do all the non-sexy stuff and then having to get on camera and be like, hey guys, how are you?
Yeah,
this is Mary
right.
Kate and Ashley here. Like, it's really...
We're like just crying 20 minutes ago. We're like, hey guys, we're launching a new collection today.
But. Yeah, it's really difficult. And I think that that's something, unfortunately, people don't get to see as much of Lee and I, is the back end of the things that we're doing.
Because honestly, who wants to see that? You know, here, I'm live on Instagram and I'm doing data entry.
Yeah,
it's like zero views.
It's also like, you guys want to see what I do on a daily
this
basis?
Is what I do.
If you literally put a camera on my computer screen, it's insane.
Like, what's interesting that you bring that up too, we actually did get approached to do a reality show at one point, just because someone stepped into the house. We used to live in a different home office, and the person that stepped in, he was like, you know, seeing all of our employees and seeing the way that we interact, he's like, why aren't you guys doing this? And we're like, will people really want to see the day-to-day? Or do they want to see drama that's not really as existent as they would assume it would be? I don't know. So
and drama we don't want in our
that
business.
We don't, you sign your soul to the devil.
Yeah, that's, you sell it to the
sell
devil.
Sell it,
100%.
Both. You sign the contract.
Both. Yeah.
But we didn't want to do it.
And talk about, I think, what I hear over and over again from entrepreneurs is always, almost always, we started out, we thought this was the way to go. We were wrong. We failed. We pivoted to this. That failed, that we pivoted this. It sounds like you had one pivot from going from makeup to kind of apparel, which turned out well. But talk about the pivoting kind of mindset and kind of having to almost accept failure in some regard, but also remain positive about the next step and believing in that.
I think...
Is that tough psychologically?
I think the one thing that we're really lucky is that no matter where we were in our business, whether we were about to be out of jobs or whether we are at our best month in sales yet, we've always fully wholeheartedly believed in the brand. Like, if we are failing right now, which we're not, I still believe in this brand, and I think we both do, to like the day we die. So having that mindset of
if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And it's more so like, okay, you can keep pushing me down, keep pushing me down, keep pushing me down. But if I can get up once, if I can get up twice, if I can get up three times, then I know that I can get up by like the fifth or sixth time and learn how to battle it out myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of, we're lucky.
Where do you get that confidence from?
I think
a lot
it's
of
more
people
like,
get beat down a couple times and it's game over.
Lee and I have a really rare relationship where I wouldn't recommend to anybody working with your best friend, but with us, it's such a strong sisterly relationship where we've had to learn how to be so open and so honest with each other to a degree where even when our personal lives are falling apart, for instance, we've had to be like, hey, I'm struggling here and it's affecting me here. Mm-hmm. And having us both go through that it was almost like I had somebody on my team in a very solitary moment to help build me up and give me hope. And hope is, I think, the most powerful thing ever. And I also think manifestation and taking the proper actions to make it happen, like, it's more than just belief. And I think that's what makes people succeed.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the design process and actually how these get made, because I went to your site. I'm not a great fashion mind, right? But I looked at it and it was really cool visually. I liked, like, especially the hoodies and what they look like, graphics, you know, on the back and stuff.
Thank you.
Like, how do you have a background in that? And
no,
how did you become your thing?
She doesn't have a background, but I do want to say she is the most creative person I know and has always been. And even though she'll never admit it, she always says, I'm not a good writer, but she is. So the way that her mind works is crazy to me. So I'm. You can explain now how you got into it, but it's
so I'm a mental patient, pretty much. When I was working for my dad, I started in dental, and in my first part of my career with Keystone, I actually was photoshopping teeth for a catalog. So I was photoshopping dentures. So I kind of like had this like bare minimum knowledge of Photoshop. So I was like, okay, I can somewhat run with this. And then all of a sudden, when I did this small design for the one hoodie and whatnot, I was like, okay, well, what else can I learn? And I'm like, I'm just gonna go on YouTube and kind of check it out. And since then, I've just kind of adapted everything from what YouTube's been able to teach me. And I definitely don't design to like the design school manner of things. Like, RISD probably gave a much more proper layout for the way things are supposed to be done. But I do the best that I can, and that's all I can say. And at the end of the day, that's all I can be proud of.
What I've noticed a lot about your designs from when we first started to now, I think it also is like the season of your life that you're in. So even the first two pieces of merch, one was like super deep and it had like this really important quote on the back that had to do with like self-empowerment and knowing when it's right to walk away and still loving yourself the end.
That's a good
and
message.
The other one was more like an F you type of hoodie. Like, it said, what are you gonna do without him on the front? And on the back it said, whatever I want. So there's two very like different types of
variations. I feel like, of both of our personalities.
Which sells better, the positive ones or the negative you ones?
I think they both.
They both do the same?
We have this one design that we created together that's called I Hope You. And we had an ex-colleague that kind of left on a bad note. We're on good terms now.
We told him this, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you are watching,
I hope you're having a good laugh. But we were thinking of like, we would never wish ill will upon anybody, but we were like, damn.
Not even on an ex?
But no, we're like, I hope that he just gets a parking ticket this morning. Like,
and like, I hope that he gets his car washed and it rains tomorrow and ruins the car.
I hope he gets sick in a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah, just like, we were on text just going back and forth, feeding each other these lines that were so funny. And
so really, then I just took that and I was like, let's just throw it on a t-shirt. Whatever.
The whole t-shirt is a back of just like, I hope you this. And then the back of the last line is, I hope you're happy.
Yeah.
Just to kind of be like, it's the top off to all of the ill will things that we were wishing upon the person. But
so what advice do you have for, I'm sure one of your younger followers watching this and go, I want to do what they're doing. I want to create my own fashion brand. I have limited budget. I don't have a lot of money. I could produce, just like you said in the beginning, 100 shirts, 20 hoodies, whatever. How do they sell their first 20 hoodies or sell their first 100 t-shirts? It seems like an impossible thing.
I think for us, we were lucky to have and still have mentors to help with the inside and the outside. I think the biggest thing, no matter what, is not giving up and making sure that even when people are putting you down, even the people that are supposed to be helping you, that you still push forward through that. So if you can push forward through that and succeed, I think that's the strongest thing you could possibly mm-hmm. do. But how you stay relevant is essentially making sure that that back end, your expenses, your cash flow, like all those things are really taken care of and really put down the line. And where can you mix and match different money and like make sure like, okay, I didn't spend this much on a photo shoot, so I'm gonna use that money towards this. It's really important, I think, to have the back end super clean to make the front end look really nice. And I think relevance comes with that.
Yeah, I also think it's really important to, when you are starting your business, to know why is someone gonna buy this from you? Like, why is somebody gonna buy this t-shirt versus get a t-shirt from Old Navy or Gap? And what is the reasoning behind that? And for us, we have such strong brand DNA in the sense that you know, everybody has a heartbreak story.
Have a voice as a brand.
And so you're wearing your heart on your sleeve, essentially.
People can relate. Yeah. So just knowing if you put yourself outside your business and just put yourself in the mind of your target consumer, why would that person buy it?
I think it's really weird, too, because it almost doesn't feel like consumer's a good word or audience is a good word.
Not
really
anymore.
For us, it's like a community of people who are learning how to heal. Mm-hmm. And attaching ourselves to that has been a huge part of our success. And I think also staying consistent with the conversation as well with that audience. I mean, some days we're just therapists. They're not here to shop. But it's really important, I think, to the both of us and having that consistency between both the back end and the front end.
What are some early mistakes you made that you want to share with the aspiring entrepreneur, the new entrepreneur, to say, hey, like, this is what I did, and it's not a good idea to go down that path? Anything, I mean,
there's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to
think of a good example.
Yeah. Don't hire friends.
Yeah.
Don't hire friends of friends, I would say. And it's funny.
It gets, well, besides obviously our situation, but it gets personal at the end of the day, and you can't sit there and in the beginning think it won't be that way, because it always will.
Yeah.
Also, it's really, really hard to find people who are actually trustworthy, because everybody's gonna say, I can do this, I can also do that, I can help you here, here, and here. And you don't want to just immediately right off the bat not trust the person.
I think you have to, though.
You have to, but you have to make sure that if you start seeing anything, like any type of red flag, which we've been through and we've started seeing like one or two, you have to really follow your gut instinct.
I think it's an intuitive feeling where it's like, if a person even remotely, even if they're asking something in a certain way, is giving you like a, ugh, I got the ick from that. Like,
it's
there's a reason.
Again.
There's a reason why your hair is on the back of your neck or standing up. Like, there's a reason why you got the ick. Like, there's no such thing as coincidences. I truly don't believe that.
Yeah,
and I think there's a reason why you're given emotions to have these feelings, even when you don't understand what they mean.
Go with your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you are screwed over by somebody that you did trust, like, it's going to happen. It's okay. You learn a huge lesson from that. And sometimes it's even harder after that happens, because you build up this wall that you don't want to have the wall go all the way up, but you, I don't know, it becomes a mind game almost, too, where you have, that's, when we go off each other, if she gets a bad feeling about something, then it's in the back of my mind, and I keep an eye out for that, or vice versa. So I think you have to have people around you that you trust, too.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I had somebody who worked for us for 3 years, and I thought that they were super trustworthy. They had a lot of instances where they'd miss out on work, and I was getting really frustrated, and they'd put really personal, like, situations on kind of our shoulders. And it got to a point where I was like, look, like, I can't take this anymore. I'm losing it a little bit. I need you to take out, like, your PTO hours if you're gonna take off this much work. And she was really upset by that. And it was super off-putting. She ended up quitting, getting out of Boys Lie, and we start looking at her credit card statements and find out she stole tens of thousands of dollars from us.
And the case is still ongoing, so I don't really know how much detail get into it, but it just goes to show sometimes the people
you want to trust the most, who you want to have the most heart for, who you want to be the most empathetic for, they really don't have your single-handed best interest at heart.
And people are really good at
making you feel really
making
bad.
Making you feel like it's your fault, and also making you feel like you're doing something wrong when they're just manipulating you into feeling that way.
Yeah. So that was a really hard one.
Yeah.
I think just not trusting, like,
they always say trust but verify.
Yeah.
I think that's
the best way to put it.
Yeah.
I think that definitely is.
Like, you don't want to be jaded and closed off.
Yeah.
But like, if they're telling me they're really good at Photoshop and this and that, and they've done all these projects, give me the number from someone you did a project for.
Right?
I just want to see.
Even just checking in, like, being like, oh, okay, you're taking care of it. Just wanted to follow up. Like, what's that look like? Can you show it to me just on the screen? And I think that's the other thing, is making sure that you're constantly checking in.
Yeah. And honestly, nothing's ever going to be perfect. Hopefully that never happens to us again, but you never know. And it's very common.
It happens all the time. Best advice is not to make the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, don't continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome from it. Yeah. Like change something. If it's not working, if you did something wrong, make sure you don't do it again.
Yeah. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, don't expect different results.
Yeah. That's very true. That's the biggest thing.
I want to ask you one more thing about pivoting too, because I see this a lot. You did it right. And it sounds like you did it at the tail end. Like, we got to do something. Like, we're out of money. We're kind of forced to do something. Yeah. Right. But you did it before it was too late. I think I see a lot of founders who have such a belief and such a passion and through self-will are going to make it work. And for some reason, it's just they're not finding the right audience. It's not the right product at the right time. It's not solving a problem. You know, whatever thing it's, you know, reason it's not succeeding. But they never can get that focus off the path, and they don't pivot in time and they suffer because of it. How do you have any advice? I mean, do you just have to be self-aware or look at data, or how do you?
I think, again, not making the same mistake twice, like, and being aware of your mistakes and saying, okay, this really didn't work. This is something new. I have a couple new things I can try. What if this play is made is going to be my consequences? What is going to be my outcome? And I think giving yourself those options and knowing that there are always options and you do have choices, that's really important. And not to sink your heart into one thing. Be open-minded.
Yeah, I also feel like the majority of entrepreneurs put so much pressure on themselves. So if one thing doesn't work, like, well, I can make this work. And all that pressure into making something perfect is never going to work. So when we pivoted, we were kind of at this point where we're just like, let's try. I don't even know. We've never done this before. Let's see if it works.
Even with our PR team at the time, they were strictly makeup. And we were like, we have no money left. You guys are going to have to give us, like, either you quit out on us now or you're going to be a part of this pivot and give us maybe like 2 months of a break. Mm-hmm. And we were super open and honest with them about where we were and where we stood. And we were lucky we had such a good small PR team that we still work with today. And they were like, you know what? Like, we can make this work. We'll figure it out. And we did.
Yeah.
The importance of having a good team around you.
Yeah, it's important.
You don't do
to
it by
yourself with the right people.
Yeah. And even going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, the people that didn't support you when you first started, it's funny because once you do succeed, they always come back and
they're your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. Hey, I love this hoodie. Can you send it to me? Yeah. And you never forget the people that
really
didn't believe in you and now all of a sudden, you know,
want something from you.
Like, here's a discount code.
You don't send it to them for free, right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Sometimes, honestly, we sometimes do just like, you know what?
Keep the peace.
Yeah, keep the peace.
Yeah. Well, very nice. Well, this was a great conversation because kind of the public face of you was very different than this conversation and seeing how plugged in you are to the business. Because you never know when you see these kind of companies, you know, with the face, you know, are they really checked in? Did they just write a check to start this business and they're in Cabo during the week? Like, you know, sipping a drink somewhere,
oh,
right?
That sounds lovely.
Or are they really doing data entry at 2 in the morning, you know? Yeah. So it's good to see the hustle, you know, behind the scenes of how you got here. So I think it's a great message to really anyone trying to start a business or grow a business.
Thank you. And congratulations on your success, too. It's been amazing to see all the people that you've interviewed. We're really lucky.
Yeah,
I was
on your show like, all night looking at all the interviews. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. Just like you said before, it took me 40 years to realize what I'm good at. Yeah. You know, I'm the quickest learner, but the only thing I'm good at is talking with people. I can't hang a picture frame. You know, I don't watch football. I can't name a football player, but yet I can name every single Real Housewife.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you.
Maybe that's a good skill to have. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it is.
But you've tried to find, I believe everybody has a superpower of some kind. Now, you may be LeBron James at 16, where you know damn well what your superpower is, and so does everyone who watches you.
Yeah.
But other people shouldn't be discouraged, you know, because they haven't figured it out by 20 or, you know, by 30 or whatever.
Even by 40, it's okay to not know.
Yeah.
It's okay
to, like, as long as you're healthy and surviving, it's
paying your bills and,
finding balance somewhere, like, it's okay to not know.
And you can do this stuff as a side hustle.
Yeah.
That's how you started, right? Yeah. Was as a side hustle.
Well, but we were, trying to make it our main.
Yeah.
Well, that's always the goal.
We had no choice, but it's not easy, but I do feel like everyone will be able to find it. It's just about figuring out what's best for you. And you, like you said, you realize that you're great at talking to people, so you made a career out of it.
Yeah, why not?
And that's cool.
Well, you guys are pretty cool. So thank you so much for sitting down with me. Guys, make sure you subscribe and turn on notifications. We do new interviews every Tuesday with the biggest entrepreneurs in the world, and they give you inspiration like we got from these ladies today, but they also give you real business tips on how to start or grow your existing business. So thanks so much for watching, guys.
Thank you.